We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It's good to have you listening on a Friday. We're hanging out at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw.
Look who just walked in.
Oh, my man. It's so good to see you. I just tweeted about him because I guess a day ago he announced that he is coming back to our radio station. And I'm so happy. I'm so excited for Mitch Evans.
Return of the Mitch. The legendary Mitch Evans is back.
Mitch Evans.
On WZGZ.
Yes.
So, yeah, man. And Mitch, by the way, before we get to the Falcon Report, Mitch just handed me a document, Carl, that says basically he has given me permission, again, allowed to imitate the voice of one Mr. Evans, whether live or on tape. So, an endless source of material for decades for moi.
That's great.
Mitch Evans back on 92.9 The Game. So, he'll be like a weekend six-man fill-in. You'll hear him. And, again, covering all your favorite sports. And we love Mitch and missed him while he was gone. And Mitch is back in the family.
Yeah, man. Good to see you, buddy. We're hanging out. We've got our Father's Day event going on tonight after we get done. So we'll be talking about that on Monday and telling you all about it. But, Mike, we got to talk about the Falcons, man. And we'll get to the Braves as they start a new series with the Pirates. Grant's going to join us in about 10 minutes. Here's the deal. We started the show and we were just saying, look, Kyle Pitts, okay, and this is not to love on him, hate on him, bang on him, however you might want to view this. We're just giving you his perspective. And it feels like the Falcons trust him. He feels like the Falcons trust him. And Kyle Pitts said, look, the positive is being tagged by the Falcons.
Right.
They didn't say, go test the market. We'll see what your value is.
Come back to us with lowball.
Correct. Right. We're going to go ahead and tag you, and this is where we're at. And he says that he feels like it's pretty cool to see the team feel that way. It's a new year. And he said, look, I'm not worried about it. Mike, he's talking about the future contract. Every year, guys, whether we want to talk about it in the NFL, you're playing for something. Every year. You have a crappy year, guess what? They're looking for a way to get out of your contract. You have a great year, they're looking for a way to say, all right, it's not time to pay you yet. Every year is a contract year. For Kyle, it's felt like the last 3 years. Let's go back three.
Right.
End of Arthur Smith to Raw.
Right.
To where we are now.
Remember, it was Desmond Ridder, and then it was, who was the backup? Yeah, him.
Mariota.
You know, Mariota started. That was the first year. But then you get back to, you know, and that was the knee injury. It really took Kyle Pitts two full seasons to recover.
It did.
From the knee injury. And it was something that Arthur Smith used to complain to us both on and off the record, if we can be honest, from the Ticketmaster Studios up at the Flowery Branch. But he drafted him. Our impression was that he was the driving force on getting Pitts. And whether Fontenot deferred to him, whatever. We know what the talent is. We know what the ability can be. We've seen it. When he plays the Buccaneers, he looks like all world. I mean, he literally looks that good, like Tony Gonzalez level.
Yep.
The thing that drives me crazy, and I said it earlier, and a lot of guys, I knew they were going to respond, Carl, because I asked Bryant McFadden, is it better for Kyle Pitts if Tua wins the job? Because he's a more established pro, and Bryant wouldn't take the bait. He said no, because there's still the more of the vertical passing game if ever, you know, we get these two guys together. Talk about Michael Penix Jr. The Indianapolis game in Berlin where the first play of the game could have been a touchdown to Pitts. He drops the ball. The New England game the week before, another, I think it was like a 35-yard game, Pitts drops the ball. You know, he's got to be on. If he can just dial in and focus, and maybe this the coaching staff, Carl, and we know there's more accountability because Bijan Robinson's talked about it, Drake London's talked about it, maybe they elevate his game. But it's got to come from the man in the mirror, right?
Yeah, look, it always starts, and I'll go back to when we drafted Kyle. I think there was some uncertainty about not his ability, but, you know, again, we get back, he was 20 years old, and you're being thrown into this, you were the highest drafted tight end in the history of the NFL. You better be good. Dude, I'm 20. Like, can I get adjusted? I don't even know where the hell I'm going to live. I don't know where I'm doing. And I feel like that growth process was delayed because of the way the franchise was, Mike. We were in flux, to be quite honest with you. We weren't good. We weren't bad. But we were trying to get over the hump. We didn't have a lot of money to spend. And I just think that, like, for Kyle, you said it, the injury is a reason why. I'm not going to say it's the sole reason, but it is a big reason why we didn't get the best of him for at least a season and a half.
But okay? His best – Kyle Pitts' best games came from Matt Ryan and
first
Kirk
year.
Cousins.
First year, yeah.
That's it. I mean, matter of fact, the best game that he's had as a Falcon, three touchdowns, Kirk Cousins. This was in December of last year when Kyle Pitts goes 11 of 12. Only one ball hit the ground that was targeted him with three touchdowns and 166
yards.
Okay,
so you want to know the irony to that? Rumor was that there were routes that he wasn't running correctly, which is why Kirk Cousins wasn't giving him the ball early on. You guys may not remember this, but we were like, why isn't Kirk using Kyle Pitts?
Not where he's supposed to be on the field.
So a lot has played into why he hasn't produced the way we think he should. 1,000 yards is great, but I always say this, like 1,000 yards or 10 touchdowns. What would you prefer?
Give me the red zone. The red zone
is
the dead zone. He should be a red zone god. The game, I want to say it was the Berlin game, where it makes Penix look awful because Penix gets sacked and he sees a blitz. It's like, why didn't Penix anticipate the blitz? He does. He audibles. Pitts doesn't catch the play. He throws to where Pitts is. It looks like Penix missed a guy by 10 yards.
Yep.
Because Pitts isn't where he's supposed to be.
Yeah. So, look.
And hopefully that changed. Hopefully there's more accountability, better coaching. But again, it all starts with Kyle Pitts.
It does. 404-726-0929. A couple of things from a guy that got his contract this week, Drake London. It won't kick in until next year. He's playing on his fifth-year option. But these are some of the things he's been talking about. And Mike mentioned accountability. We'll let you hear that. But here's Drake talking about Tua. And look, you tried to bait Brian McFadden today. Mm-hmm. I think Tua will look to him. But we also know this. Penix and Pitts have a great relationship. This goes back to last year, playing golf in the offseason, getting to know each other. First day of camp last year. I know, guys, you forget this. Michael Penix comes in and go, yeah, a lot of balls to eight today, huh? We're going to be doing a lot more of that.
Remember that?
And we got
first
all
thing
excited.
He said. First thing he said.
We were like, oh, crap, Michael Penix is going to be throwing the ball to Pitts. This is great. They have a really good relationship, and I think he wants him to be great. Here's what Drake said about Tua fitting in.
He's a great dude. Always got a smile on his face. Very, very chill. Throw up the shaka a little bit, and we get rolling. So, now he's a great dude, and him and MP are getting along very, very well, and both of them are just competing and working really hard together, and I love it.
That's MP is Michael Penix.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to hear anybody say anything different than Drake about Tua, but this is just getting back to, like, all right, is he doing the things he necessarily needs to do? According to Drake London, he is. And if I'm Drake London, look, I just want to be successful this year. And if it means Penix, great. If it means Tua, I don't know if he's cheering for one guy or the other right now.
Well, we asked Brian McFadden, is he a top five receiver? He said no. You know, and it's something that, you know, we know.
Not yet. Not yet.
Now, last year, as I said, it's two things going to be true. He missed some games. And we missed him in those games, but he also played in some games and wasn't even close to 100%.
Right.
Some other games where other wide receivers easily tap out. You know, it all works together. Without Mooney and Drake, I mean, Mooney wasn't out there, so they can double-team Drake. You know, and we know that Penix was struggling because Zach Robinson was in over his head as an OC. But I think this year, when you get some the key, I think it would be amazing. Can we have a guy – remember the first year they were together with Cousins? We only had two 1,000-yard receivers. Darnell Mooney was just that concussion protocol last game away, but we're having two 1,000-yard receivers. That doesn't grow on trees.
No, it doesn't.
You know, so that's something where that was good, and then last year was bad, and some ugly too. But first things first, I can't wait to see how Zachariah Branch – don't even know what Jahan – I mean, no disrespect to Jahan Dotson. I'm more excited about Zachariah Branch.
Well, that's because you've watched him. I mean, we haven't seen –
I don't know what Dotson – I haven't seen Dotson in years.
You hadn't watched Jahan Dotson to have an opinion one way or the other, and that's fair. I mean, dog fans, you saw Zachariah Branch, whether you thought it was used the right way or not, you feel some kind of way about it. Let me hear Drake London talk about Stefanski and his accountability, because I think, again, this is something we'll be talking about all season long.
So far, he's doing his thing, and he just brings, you know, accountability and honestly just pushing us to be the best that we can be right now. You know, we're never complacent, and I think that's the big motto right now, is just never be complacent at all and just keep on pushing forward and striving for greatness. And that's what he's kind of implementing it in, like, probably the most chillest way ever. But at the same time, he's like, we're about business, and I love it.
Is it always the same guy lifting in the background?
It feels that way. I want to know who it is. I want to know who's back there pumping iron. He says in the chillest way ever. That's kind of interesting. That's some insight into Kevin Stefanski's personality, isn't it? Like,
right.
When he talks about, you know, pushing guys and, hey, this is what we're going to be doing, but also in a way where guys vibe with it, I think that's important. It's Dukes and Bell, guys, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, just chopping it up about what Pitts basically said and the fact that he's very comfortable that the Falcons franchise tagged him. And I said to Mike, you know, most guys who get franchise tagged, and I think they have until, like, July 15th to get a new, you know, long-term deal done, if they were working on it and they wanted to do it.
No reason to.
No reason to. There is no reason to.
I had a guy hit us up on Twitter, follow us. Carlos, put him up, C-Dukes. I'm Mike Bell. ATL. A guy hit me up and he said, they goes, you know, they can still trade him.
Who, Pitts?
Pitts. I'm like, I don't think that's happening. I don't think
they could because there's salary control.
Yeah, but yes. I don't think that, you know, Austin Hooper is ready to fill that void. You know, and I still think they want to kick the tires on him because if he balls out, the worst case scenario is he kicks ass and you can't find come to a contract. You tag him again.
Yeah,
you not could. Great for him, but could be good for us.
Well, let me ask you guys this: if that's what you think potentially, you don't give up on playmakers. We don't have enough of them to begin with. We haven't had enough playmakers. Like okay, Bijan, yeah, great, Drake. Where again? I ask the question: are the explosive plays down the field?
Right.
So. I'm not willing to – and again, if you're going to trade him, what are we getting in return? What do you feel like needs right now that gets you over the top if you're going to give up on a young playmaker in Kyle Pitts? The age played a role, guys, in why they decided to keep him and franchise tag him.
Right. No, and that's the thing. I mean, and he just mentioned – he happened to choose the Ravens, and I'm like, okay.
What are we getting? Well, that's, Lamar Jackson?
That's, no. We're not.
I mean, seriously.
No, and I don't think they're going to trade Travis Jones or any of their nose tackles or defensive linemen.
Yeah, it's not happening.
You know, so that's – again, guys, I appreciate the thought, but they want to kick the tires. I think there's a feeling that they don't necessarily fully believe in him, but there's a lot they like about Kyle Pitts.
Okay.
Ergo, let's tag him and see how he fits in a tight end – driven offense, or certainly tight ends have had success at Kevin Stefanski's offense.
That's fair. I don't disagree with that. You guys can hit us up. Tell us what you think. By the way, you are listening to Atlanta's radio home of comprehensive World Cup coverage, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, every night. From now through the end of the tournament, Jason Longshore is going to be doing special editions of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Jason will be covering all the major storylines with previews and analysis of every match all the way through the final. That's going to be on July 19th. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer and by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26. That's Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore every night from now through July 19th on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're coming back. We'll talk to Grant. Pirates in town. We're looking for another series win. It's Dukes and Bell.